Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. Does the Bible tell us everything that's work? No, it does not. It does not. The things it tells us is don't cook. Don't kindle a fire. I'm throwing in don't mow the lawn just from personal experience. But beyond that, it just says rest. And go to Isaiah chapter 58. Treat it as a delight. It's given by God to be a good thing, to be a happy thing, to be a delight. When those in the northern kingdom didn't want to keep it, God put them in captivity to take it away as a punishment, as a judgment. So Isaiah 58 verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, meaning from doing what you want to do, do what God wants you to do, rest. Do we go do our grocery shopping on Shabbat? No. And call the Sabbath a delight. Miss Blaney, what's that Hebrew word for delight? Oneg. Oneg. I heard you even though you didn't hear me. Okay. The holy day of the Lord honorable and shall honor him, not doing your own ways. Can you go for a walk? Sure. Can you read a book? Sure. Can you study the Bible? That's a good book. Sure. Can we come to Shabbat? Messiah did. What was his custom? Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. If you go to the rabbinic sources, you will find volumes 2 or 3 inches thick of all the things you're prohibited from doing on Shabbat. Where did they get all those rules? They made them up. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. In Luke chapter 4, Messiah has just been baptized, fasted for 40 days, was confronted by the devil, and defeated the devil. What's the next thing he does? Verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. What did he do on Shabbat? He went to the synagogue and studied the word of God with people. That's a really good thing. What if you're in a profession where you can't take the day off, like a medical profession? Do you say, hey, we'll just let all the patients die today, and if any of them survive till my... No. There are times where you have to put saving human lives above the keeping of the Shabbat. It's called Kol Vechomer. Somebody was asking about that yesterday. Sometimes two commandments will conflict. What about soldiers? Can soldiers all go home on Shabbat and say, hey, we'll let the enemy invade, and if we're still alive on Monday, then we'll go back? No, you can't do that. So the Bible leaves the rest of it to your interpretation. Yes, ma'am.
That working in the medical profession when you're on Shabbat, I don't spell the word.
Kol Vechomer, K O L space. It means light and heavy. V apostrophe C H O M E R. When Messiah healed on the Sabbath, the Pharisees jumped all over him. How dare you heal on the Sabbath day? And what did Messiah say? Is it good to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? There is a neighborhood in Jerusalem called Meir Shearim that's inhabited by ultra-Orthodox. And if there's a terror victim lying bleeding in the streets and an ambulance comes to get them, they will stone the ambulance and say, let him bleed till tomorrow. And if they're still alive, then pick up the body. Would Messiah agree with that? No. He would not. And did you notice, maybe I didn't finish Exodus 20. Go back to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Again, because it was asked, I want to answer the question as thoroughly as I can. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter. So can you make your daughter go do the dishes so that you don't have to? No. Nor your male servant, nor your female servant. Nor your cattle, that's the animals. Nor your stranger who's within your gates. The stranger is the non-Jew. So it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or non-Jewish. What are you supposed to do in Shabbat? Rest. And verse 11 begins with for. What does for mean? Because. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So why do we rest on Shabbat? Because God did. How many of you know I'm married? Does this little ring on my finger indicate it? Go to Exodus 31. Just as this wedding ring is the sign that I belong to my wife, Exodus 31 says the Sabbath is the sign that you belong to God. Verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, what does that word saying mean? A quote. It means these words came out of the lips of God. Speak also to the children of Israel. Not speak to the Jews, not speak to Israel, but speak to the children of Israel, which is a broad, inclusive term that includes the mixed multitude who are not Jewish, but came out of Egypt with Israel. Saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign. That Hebrew word is ot, O-T-H. It is the sign, otherwise translated as the mark. Just as in Revelation 13, there's the mark of the beast, the Sabbath is the mark of God. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So what indicates a child of God, according to Exodus 31, is do you keep the Sabbath or do you not? Let's add one more to that. How many of you would like to be in the Messianic Kingdom one day? Do ya? Turn to Isaiah 56. It tells us who gets to go there. Isaiah 56. And somebody will say, Wayne, that's Old Testament. Yes, but he's a prophet. Does Messiah call him a prophet? Messiah calls him a prophet. What do you know about a prophet's prophecies? They must all what? Come true. They have to. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord. Who said it? The Lord said it, which means this is a prophecy. Keep justice. That word keep is a command. It means to guard. Keep justice and do righteousness. What's the opposite of righteousness? Lawlessness. Messiah said, if you practice lawlessness, you're not going to heaven with me. For my Yeshua is about to come. That word salvation is Yeshua. That's the name of our Messiah. And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who lays hold on it. The first word man is the Hebrew word Enosh. E-N-O-S-H. And it refers to Jewish people. The second word man is Adam. A-D-A-M. And who among here is descended from Adam? Everybody. So God uses two different words here for man to say, I mean everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling what? The Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Now to verse 6. What's the blessing? Verse 6. Also the sons of the foreigner. That Hebrew word is nekar. Spell it N-E-K-A-R. Those are not Jewish people. Who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him. That is, they don't want to serve pagan gods anymore. They want to serve the Lord. And to love the name of the Lord, to be a servant. Everyone who keeps from defiling what? The Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I'll bring to my holy mountain. My holy mountain refers to the Messianic Kingdom. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Who quotes from this verse? Yeshua does. Our Messiah does. So who gets to come to the kingdom according to verse 6? Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant. That covenant is the new covenant. What's that, Penny?
The seventh day is to keep Shabbat, but don't keep Torah.
Yeah. All I can tell you is this. The Seventh-day Adventists don't keep the Sabbath because God commanded it. They keep the Sabbath because Ellen G. White commanded it. That's why they don't keep the rest of the Torah. She told them to keep Sabbath and not the rest. So are they obeying God or are they obeying a person?
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Did I thoroughly answer the question? Okay. Then let's go back to Hosea. Chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. I hesitated because I said, we read that. Yes, but only one of the cross references. We looked at Matthew 6, but we didn't look at Isaiah chapter 5. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24. Hosea and Isaiah are two different prophets, right? But they have the same message. Hosea's after the fact. Isaiah's before the fact. Isaiah says you're going to go into captivity if you don't straighten up. So let's look at Isaiah 5, verse 24. Just giving you a chance to find it. Isaiah 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, what's fire a picture of in prophecy? Judgment. And the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness. Remember that from Hosea? And their blossom will ascend like dust, because here's why they're going to fall under God's condemnation and get cast out into captivity, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. When Isaiah writes this, they're not going into captivity yet. He gives them a chance to repent. He calls them to repent, to turn around, come back to God. And what does Hosea tell us? They didn't. They continued to say, who needs to listen to God? We'll do what we want to do. When we're studying Jeremiah, I can't get chapter 17 and 18 out of my mind. In Jeremiah chapter 17, God says to Israel, to the southern kingdom of Judah, to Jerusalem, if you will just keep the Sabbath, I won't destroy you. I won't destroy the city. I won't destroy the temple. I won't destroy every man, woman, and child. And in chapter 18, Israel answers with, save your breath. We're going to do what we want to do, and we don't care what you have to say about it. What do you think follows? Judgment. Go back to Hosea, chapter 5, up to verse 13. When Ephraim, again, that's the term for the northern kingdom of Israel, those 10 tribes that we call today what? The 10 lost tribes, saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jerob. Jerob is another word for Assyria. So instead of turning back to God, they turned to a foreign country and made a treaty with them and gave them gold and silver, saying, protect us from God's judgment. Really? They said, we don't want to repent. We need your help. Come defend us so God can't judge us. And verse says, yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. What good is it, according to the scriptures, to turn to a man to defend you from the judgment of God? None at all. None at all. Verse 14 says, for. What does for mean? Because. Because what? Let's read. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim. That refers to the Assyrian captivity that's coming. A lion doesn't just kill its prey. What does a lion do? It tears and scatters it. So this is a reference to the Assyrian captivity, which came in 722 BCE or BC. I don't care which one you write in your notes. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. God said it was coming. It came. 2 Kings. Right after 1 Kings, if that helps. Chapter 17. I got to do something light in the mood. I used to say it's right after the book of Second Opinions, but nobody would laugh. And it's like, uh-oh. 2 Kings chapter 17. Start in verse 5. Who did they turn to protect them from God? They turned to Assyria. Who's going to come destroy them? Assyria, the one they gave all that gold and silver to. You know what? They liked the gold and silver and wanted more. Verse 5 says, now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land, went up to Samaria, that's the northern king of Israel, and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Hala and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. 4. So it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, but brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel which they made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places, that's where you worship idols, in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places. Are they burning incense to God? No, to the pagan idols. Like the nations whom the Lord had carried away from before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols, in which the Lord had said, you shall not do this thing. That's enough of that. Let's go back to Hosea chapter 5, verse 14. So that first clause, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim, is the Assyrian captivity of 722 BCE. Anybody know what the symbol was for the nation of Assyria? A lion. Assyria planted a small kingdom to the east to defend their eastern border. That nation was called Babylon. And they, that's where Babylon came about. And they also used the symbol of the lion for Babylon. And there in the next clause of verse 14, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. That young lion is Babylon, the city that Assyria started. Also used the symbol of the lion. It's a young lion, though, because Judah comes under attack more than 100 years later. And they're only scattered in captivity for 70 years, not 2,700. So a young lion can't scatter as far and as completely. So that Babylonian captivity was approximately from 606 to 583 BC. It came in 3 waves. In the first wave, God said, go. Daniel and his companions went. The rest said, no, we're not going. The second wave, God said, go. And that's when Ezekiel went. And the rest said, no, we're not going. In the third wave, the entire place was destroyed, every man, woman, and child. And after 70 years, the children of Israel were allowed to come back to the town of Judah, to the southern kingdom of Judah, to the town of Jerusalem. Why 70 years? Who knows? That was the number of Sabbath years they failed to keep. Does God take the Sabbath seriously? You never saw it? Go to the last page before Ezra chapter 1. Second Chronicles 36. The last page before the book of Ezra. Verse 20. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So just as the seventh day is the Sabbath day, the seventh year of a seven-year cycle is the Sabbath year. And God said, let the land rest. And Israel said, no, we won't. We will plant it, we'll harvest it, and you're just going to have to like it. And after 70 times, God said, you're going to captivity for 70 years till you learn your lesson to listen. Okay, back to Hosea chapter 5, verse 14. That was the first two phrases. The first one is the Assyrian captivity. The second one is the Babylonian captivity. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who care, Babylon didn't just take Israel into captivity. They took all the nations of the world into captivity. And God says in the book of Jeremiah, it's all for the same reason, because even the rest of the nations didn't listen to God. So they went into captivity. Then in verse 14 of Hosea 5, the third clause says, I will tear them and go away. When the nation of Israel rejected Yeshua, God had the Romans disperse them into the world. It's called the diaspora. And that's what is just now coming to an end 2,000 years later. So that's the Roman diaspora that began in 70 Common Era or 70 AD. He says, I'll take them away and no one shall rescue. In the last 2,000 years, have they tried to put Israel back together? Yeah, but they couldn't. Why? Because God said, not till my time. Verse 15, this is Messiah, I'll return again to my place. Where is Messiah's place? He ascended to where? Let's turn back to Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. It's a psalm of David. David was a king, but he was also what? A prophet. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. So Messiah is seated in heaven from the time he ascended until it's time to return. And Israel was not going to be restored as a nation until it's time for the Lord to return. Is the Lord going to return someday soon? Then we see Israel beginning to come back to the land. Is all Israel back in the land? Not yet. They're just in the process. When does the regathering get completed? When Messiah returns. So let's go back to Hosea 5:15 and see what the rest of it said. I'll return again to my place until, he tells us when he's returning, until they acknowledge their offense, until the Jewish people repent and turn back to God. Why haven't they been restored yet? They have not yet repented. When does all Israel repent in Romans 11:26, which says, and all Israel shall be saved? When does that get fulfilled? That's at Gog and Magog. It's in the tribulation period. That's when Messiah returns, when all Israel repents and turns back to him. So it says right here in Hosea, written all those thousands of years ago, I return again to my place until they acknowledge their offense. Then They will seek my face. When will they seek my face? When they acknowledge their offense. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. That word affliction refers to the tribulation period, when the wrath of God gets poured out. Let's look at some of the references for this. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 43, answers the question, Wayne, how do you know Psalm 110:1 is about Messiah Yeshua? Answer, he tells us so. Matthew 22, verses 43 to 45. Saying, who do you think, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit, meaning in the Holy Spirit, in prophecy, call him Lord? Who normally calls the other Lord, the Father or the child? One more time. The child calls the Father Lord. Yep. So, if Messiah is the son of David, why does David call him Lord? Because he came before him. That's what it's about. Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, so I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? In other words, Messiah came before David, even though he descends from David. That makes him what? That makes him God. And so in verse 46, no one was able to answer him a word, and they shut up, didn't ask any more questions. What is a Jewish tendency? You answer a question with a questions. They're not going to ask him anymore because he asked two hard ones. They're just too hard. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 35. Mark just puts it a little differently. Then Yeshua answered and said, well, he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand to make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David calls him Lord, how is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. That's why I wanted to include Mark. The Pharisees react one way. They're offended. But the common people, they get the point. They say, yeah, yeah. Let's go back to Matthew 23 for a moment. Because like Hosea, who says that Messiah will return when the children of Israel repent, we find that in Matthew 23 also. Verses 37 to 39. If anybody's surprised that we find the same things in the Old Testament and the New Testament, keep watching. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That I in verse 37 tells us, who sent the prophets? Messiah sent the prophets. Susie, you all try and answer that in a little while. Verse 38 says, see, your house is left you desolate. The word house there refers to the temple, that the temple is going to be destroyed. In 70 AD, 40 years after the crucifixion it was. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So until Israel in Jerusalem cries out for the Lord to return, he's not returning. Why has Satan tried to wipe out the Jewish people for the last 6,000 years?